Welcome to Loading the Bar with physical training experts Parker McBride and Matt Wasko. Our Fit Lifestyle podcast covers the science of nutrition and fitness, together with the challenges we all face to be disciplined. We'll guide you through the minefields of fads and gimmicks and all manner of BS that tempt us in today's fitness world. Ready to begin? Then let's start loading the bar.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Loading the Bar podcast. We are now up to episode 61, and two things that you're going to notice about today's podcast is, one, I'm Brian Keller, filling in again for Parker McBride. Two, I sound a little bit better, still dealing with allergies, and as always, I'm here with my co-host, Matt Wasko, and we fell flat on our face this week with our cheese picks.
Well, we did.
How are you doing? And we'll get into that, right?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you do sound better. Yeah. I didn't even put two and two together until you said that.
Allergies were kicking, and they still are, but I it's gotten better for sure.
Yeah. And I'm doing fine. On a personal level, I'm getting more and more agitated with not being able to perform the way I'd like to, but that's for
there's a
day.
Blue pill for that.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not talking about this. Sorry. If you don't know, on the podcast, Matt has mentioned his shoulder. We were just messing. But anyway, sorry. I went there because that is a slight extension of the fitness and health industry to an extent.
Well,
I had to put that in there.
It's family friendly, brother.
Just kidding. It's a shoulder.
Yeah. It's the shoulder. But anyway, yeah, as far as the Chiefs game last night, I didn't get to watch the first half.
They just came out, which uncharacteristically in September for those guys, they came out very flat last night.
Yeah.
Very flat.
And I can speak on the second half. And then what I'll say is Patrick Mahomes looked good in the second half.
Well, and the defense played with no passion and no urgency in the first half. They came out with a little more with their hair on fire second half, mm-hmm. and they were able to get more pressure on and actually sack Justin Herbert. But first half, there was none of that. So
yeah,
it was a big turnaround. But again, I mean, we just didn't execute as a whole. We need to execute better.
Well, and it didn't seem like we could stop them when we needed to.
Correct.
Right. Now, I will give – we do have a pattern with Harbaugh as a coach. Wherever he goes, his teams play well.
Yeah, but we've been we beat them twice last year with Harbaugh, and that's good. And we could have easily have beaten them yesterday. The thing about, I think, we had just started getting the momentum on our side, and we scored the touchdown, and Butker missed that extra point to tie the game.
Yeah.
Which was huge, because that would have put us – it would have tied the game. And then we were forced to go for two later and ended up – not converting on.
When's the
on
last
that.
Time you see saw Butker miss a?
He kick. Missed a couple. I think he missed a couple of extra points last year. It just doesn't happen very often.
Yeah,
but I mean, it is what it is. So you know, with that said, though, should we go ahead? Do you want to wait till the end of the show to go ahead and give our picks for next week, or do you want to give them now?
Let's go ahead and give them now. Who are we playing?
So, okay. Well, so your pick last week was what? It was
21-20.
21-20, and I had, I think it was 24-20 Chiefs, I think.
Yeah.
And we lost 27-21. So, I mean, we weren't too far off on the score.
Right.
It doesn't get any easier for us. Our first five games are brutal. And for those that say that we don't have a tough schedule, I think that's a bunch of bull, because I think we do have a tough schedule. We're playing Baltimore.
Ooh.
But I think Baltimore is at home, I think.
Okay.
So I think we come back and we play our first one next week at Arrowhead.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing I will say about the game. The second half that I watched, Patrick Mahomes looked like the old Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
That 4th-and-7 pass where it was 4th down and he threw across his body. Mm-hmm. And
kind of reminds you of an old Tyreek Hill play.
Yeah. That reminded me, because we didn't see – I mean, last year, Patrick Mahomes was kind of like, you know. And I saw at least two or three plays in that second half. I was like, okay, that's the old Patrick Mahomes I remember.
Well, we're down, again, receivers, because Rashee Rice is out for the first five or six games with suspension from his nice little driving incident he had last year. They finally ruled on that and came down with judgment on him. The NFL did. So he's got a five, I think it's a six game, five or six game suspension. And then first series of the night, last night, Worthy went down with a shoulder. So I haven't heard anything today on where he's at with that. So he might not play next week either. So we may be down two receivers. So, you know, the good thing is we still have some vets in there. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster did all right last night.
Yeah.
But to me, and I hope I'm wrong, and Chiefs, big Chiefs fans are going to be probably a little pissy with me when I say this. And it's not the end of the world if we do. I think we go down to 0-2 before we finally turn it around and get our stuff together and start moving forward. Because if you remember, year before last, because last year we went 15-2, the year before that we had a 4 or 5 game stretch in the middle of the year where we went like 2-3 or 1-4 or something like that. We just had just a horrible stretch before we finally we had the yips and we couldn't catch the ball or the drops.
I remember.
And finally turned it around and still won the Super Bowl that year. So I think we're gonna drop to the Ravens, but I think it's gonna be like I want to say I bet you it's 27-17.
What was Ravens' record last year?
I don't remember, but they made it into the playoffs, and they were a 2-point conversion drop away by Mark Andrews of tying the Bills in overtime, or not overtime, but tying the Bills to make it two overtime to move on to play us in the championship game. So they were a playoff team again last year.
Yeah.
And we played them opening night last year, I think it was, and beat them 27-20 because Isaiah Likely, his toe touched out of bounds in the end zone because they were going to try to tie the game up at 27-27, and his toe touched out of bounds, and that's how we ended up winning the game.
Yeah, yeah.
So, close.
Well, I'm gonna take the opposite. I think Chiefs are going to do something at home, and I'm going to take them 28-27.
Ooh,
yeah.
Close
one.
And you know what, Matt? I honestly hope I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They came out really flat last night. I hope Andy's teams know better. They're basically very veteran led, so it's not like they haven't been here before. So if any team is going to right the ship, it's going to be the Chiefs for sure. I just for some reason I just have a feeling about this one that I don't know. I just after watching them last night.
Yeah, sometimes you got to go with the feeling.
Yeah.
Sometimes
you got to go with the feeling. So beyond that, everything else is good in your life besides your shoulder?
No, everything's, you know, kids are good. And I mean, you know, like everything in life, we have fires we're putting out.
Oh, yeah. Daily. Daily.
I mean, no reason to go into that. But, you know, outside.
Did you want to?
No. No. Okay. No, I did not.
Okay.
But outside of that, you know, things are good. And my wife is good. And, you know, we're just, you know, I will say here at Anytime Fitness, our numbers are improving.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we've had a number of memberships in the last few weeks.
Nice.
And we've also grown our personal training. You know, we're still an announcement to everyone that listens out there that is a member or is wanting to be a member. We have a HIIT circuit here that's Monday through Thursday. We're trying to grow it, and we're having an introductory offer of $80 a month for unlimited attendance, which, if you can make those times, is a good deal.
What time is it, Monday through Thursday?
Monday,
are they different times? Or?
Yeah, they are. So Monday and Wednesday, it's at 5:30 at night.
Okay.
And Tuesday and Thursday, it's at noon.
Oh, noon. Okay. Yeah. So, and these are hour-long hits or 45 minutes?
Oh, they're about 40, 45 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that's 45 minutes. If you have it set up right, 40, 45 minutes is plenty to get your hit on, for sure. Yeah.
You remember the old, did you do some of those Savage Saturdays? We used to have it shred.
Yes. Yeah. And I've been in here on Saturday morning and done them as well. Yeah. I know. 45 minutes, if you're hitting it good, you're sweating and you're breathing heavy and you're burning
enough.
You're burning some calories for sure. Well, so, all right. So since everything else is good, then let's get into our studies. And your first one, you had mentioned that it's a correlation between protein and cancer.
Yes. Yeah, so this came out actually in the last, it came out this year.
And so brand new study, which is good.
So what is the thing I hear all the time, and maybe you do as well. One of the things we hear all the time in the gym is like, I'll talk to people about getting the protein. I don't know about too much protein. You know, it could hurt your kidneys. And I'm like, no, it's not going to hurt your kidneys. But anyway.
Well, I don't hear that as much as one. I either hear I can never get enough protein, or I don't get enough protein, or two, if you're talking about make sure you get your protein in, it's if I eat too much, you know, remember, or if you they're telling you, oh, well, if you have too much protein, your body's just going to waste it and just let it out. And it's just going to get rid of it.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times it's hard to get too much protein, but if you did, you know, the body's going to utilize most of it in different ways.
Right.
But the point was, is that people have concerns about too much protein, and that's just, they hear this where? The medical community.
Of course they
Of course they do.
Of course they do.
And so, once again, we must dispel these myths.
We should be an extension of Mythbusters, really.
Well, yes, we should be. I mean, you know, you think about it. It's. I've been watching the RFK hearings. Mm-hmm. You know,
man, they want after him.
Oh
bad.
My gosh!
And he's preaching truth, but
and all he does is come with receipts.
Right.
He comes with facts and lays them out. Receipt, yep. Names, titles,
yep.
Statistics.
Yep.
You know, and they don't argue any of that. All they do is argue emotional.
Right. But that's all they have
that's
is emotion.
All they got.
And they know that they can try to get get on the side of some people, because some people, liberals mainly, like to argue with emotion. They can't argue with facts. They don't have the facts. All they do is have the emotion, and when they have the emotion, at some point, someone who's a logical thinker is going to be like, screw your emotion.
Yeah.
Here are the facts.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I've watched some of it, and I'm just like, when he's debating these senators, none of them will actually address what he's saying.
No.
All they're saying, you're going to kill people.
Right.
You know, and I was like, address what he's talking about.
Right.
You know, he's talking about the absolute decline in the past, you know, 50 years of kids, you know, the 1 in 30 autism rate.
Right.
Versus it used to be 1 in 10,000.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, well, but that's all they have to come back with, is because they're good at it. That's all they know.
That's all they got.
And they know that people don't want to hear about people dying, especially your kids.
Well,
so that's why they bring that up.
And here's the other thing. The United States, and I'm not sure what department it is, has been slow. I mean, for decades, I've been observing the Amish. Decades. Okay.
Agriculture, maybe?
No. They've been observing their health.
Okay. Well, and that makes sense, too.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the reason for this is that we don't really know. I should state that. We don't really have a reason.
Why the government has been... we have an idea. We have an idea.
But if you look it up, there are zero reports on why, what their research, okay?
Right. You know that they don't want you to know those reports.
But there's been independent studies that have been coming out on the Amish. Zero autism. Zero... I mean, their level of kids having chronic disease or chronic illnesses is almost zero.
Right. Well, it's probably the same with the Mennonites.
Yeah.
Mennonites are probably very
Now, you talking about the general population who is vaccine overload, okay, 72, whatever it is on the vaccine schedule, and you talk about that, and you're like, well, we're chronically, I mean, I think it's, they were, I mean, it was some crazy number, like 8 out of 10 kids have had chronic issues,
yeah,
illnesses, and
it's all those metals in those shots.
And so then you look at the Amish, you eat as clean as you can eat.
And they raise their own stuff?
Yeah, all their food. I mean, I buy food from the Old German Brethren, which is an offshoot of the Mennonites.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, you know, and if that was addressed, it's all about emotional appeal. So this is what we're dealing with. Billions of dollars have been sent to these senators to keep the existing money train in there.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And because there's, you know, we used to say there's money in death.
Yeah. Well, that's it. True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's money in sickness, right?
Oh, yeah.
You keep a population sick, we got a money train.
It's a whole big wheel that just keeps turning and turning and turning.
Yeah. So we kind of, I mean, me and Brian are in the same, but this is a study that, again, flies in the face of what the medical community will tell you.
Of course, and they're going to deceive you every chance they get.
Yeah. So this is a study, was published in the Applied Physiology and Nutrition and Metabolism in 2025. I'm not sure on what month that was.
Well, this year then, for sure. So,
yeah, so
brand new.
It was performed by Stuart Phillips, professor of the Department of Kinesiology in McMaster University in Canada. And
take off, eh? He's a Canadian. I don't know if I want to trust him.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
There's
just
good
kidding.
People in all countries right,
I'm
now.
I'm kidding. I'm just joking. I'm just kidding.
So they analyzed data from 16,000 adults.
That's a good enough study.
Age 19 and older using the National Health and Nutritional Examining Survey.
Okay.
Conducted from 1988 to 1994. With the following follow-up data over, with follow-up data over 18 years.
So they started with a study that was from 88 to 94. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then they followed it up with additional data for another
18 years.
Years.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, this is kind of important, only from the standpoint that how was it performed?
Right.
You know, we'll talk about who funded it.
Okay.
Right.
Yep. That's always the key. We always want to know who did that.
Right. Those two things, we'll do better on that, guys. Because sometimes we get these studies and we, you know, trying to find out who funded it is not as easy.
Well, but if you don't know by now, any time that we do a study, we always question who the funder or funders were anyway.
Yeah. So the data collection was assessed with... By looking at dietary patterns,
okay,
specifically animal and plant protein intake, using the NHANES, which is the National Health and National Examination Survey,
okay,
in dietary surveys, and likely food frequency questionnaires or 24-hour diet recalls. The statistical analysis employed advanced statistical methods, including the National Cancer Institute method and the multivariate Markov chain Monte Carlo modeling to estimate the long-term dietary intake to minimize measurement errors. These methods accounted for the fluctuation in daily protein consumption to provide a reliable picture of usual intake.
Well, before you go further with that, what I find interesting to begin with is that They're taking a study, one, of 16,000 individuals, starting at 19 as the lowest age.
Right.
But it doesn't say what the oldest person is, but yet they're taking all these different, just kind of keeping track of all the various amounts of protein that these individuals are taking, and they're of all different ages. So to me, that's going to throw this thing all over the board with the amounts of protein and how they're going to do this. So this is going to be interesting to me to find out what this is, how it comes about here.
Yeah, so I want to jump over key findings just for a second.
Okay.
And go to the limitations.
Okay.
So as observational study, it cannot prove causation, only associations. So that's to be understood.
Okay.
Other lifestyle factors, exercise, smoking, may influence results.
They have to throw the smoking in there. Sure.
Of course.
Right.
Excuse me. Protein source variability. The study did not fully differentiate between types of animal proteins, example, red meat, processed meat, fish, or poultry, which may have varying health impacts, which sure. I would agree with.
Well, the processed meats, to me, out of all of that, would be the one thing I would... definitely think that would have or does have an association or a direct correlation with cancer.
Yes.
Processed meats with all the nitrates, you know, you still hear a little bit, well, nitrates aren't all that bad for you. I mean, I've heard that from a meat processor that said, yeah, nitrates really aren't all that bad for you because, I mean, you can have some. I still try to stay away from them if at all possible, because to me, the jury's still out on nitrates and nitrites.
Well, you know, that would be your packaged deli meats
right.
and stuff like that.
Yeah, like the stuff that you get at the store all the time.
You ever had Spam?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know if that's, I guess that would be, I mean, that's so full of fat, though. I don't know if that's processed. I guess it's processed. It's got to have some nitrates or nitrites in it, I'm sure. I haven't seen a label, but it's, yeah. I just feel an artery clog every time I used to eat some. I haven't had it in forever, but man. Anyway,
okay, so
I digress.
The research was partially funded by the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Okay, so that's...
So, with that said, you would think that this is going to have a very good rosy future at the end for protein, at least animal protein.
Right.
Is what the assumption is going to be once you find out who funded something.
Right.
But... Spoiler alert! Mm-hmm. I don't know we're gonna see that.
No, no.
All right.
Well, no matter if you're on the non-meat side of vegetarian or whatever, you know, or I'd say meat bad, or you're on the beef good side.
Oh, I'm on the beef good side.
Yeah, of course. studies are always have to be funded.
You Correct.
Know? Someone has to be paid to do these.
But it's good that it's a study that's it's a non-biased study, even though they paid for it. It's very they want to know the truth and the true data rather than just trying to skew something in their direction.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but also to confirm, the researchers confirmed that the funders had no involvement in the study, mm-hmm. data collection, or the analysis.
Right.
Okay.
Are you going to touch on the contrasting evidence, or are we going to go, which direction did you want to go with that?
Well, let's go ahead and go to the key findings, and then we go to the
Okay.
Now, the biggest one, higher intake, or one of the biggest ones I consider, higher intake of animal protein from sources like meat, eggs, and dairy was not linked to increased risk of death from all causes, heart disease, or cancer.
Huh. Shocker.
Shocker.
I mean...
Hello.
God put it on this earth for a reason.
Yeah.
It's meant for humans to consume and to basically enhance your daily life and to give you muscle tone, muscle strength, everything. It's good for general nutrition, unless you're going to deep fry it in soybean oil or vegetable oil or something. Even if you deep fried it in animal fat, I mean, it's still animal fat. It's still good.
Yeah.
But there's all kinds of ways you can fix it. But it's meant for a good, healthy lifestyle, really.
So I have a clinic that I work with that I send my clients to because they have certain interventions that are very beneficial. And fantastic interventions. But there is one of their MDs who is a vegetarian.
Huh. And I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too. And he pushes...
Is that me too or me too? Oh, you said me too. Okay. Gotcha. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But he pushes it hard on his clients.
Wow.
I mean...
Simmer down. I mean, he's going
to... Yeah. I mean, to the point that he has an actual pharmacy that works with him on this ideology.
Wow.
And he produced a document that is anti-meat, anti-dairy. And I remember, I'm like, just reading through this, and it's this lie, no truth to it.
Boy, is he going to be shocked when he finds out.
Well, I don't think they care. You can come out with as much evidence as you want, and they're blind to it. But the point is that I read all the citations, all the supported evidence, all the doctors that are on board.
Is this just like, you know, the 50 former national intelligence guys were trying to say that the Russia hoax was real? I have like 100 retired doctors that are right here that all agree with me. That's what it sounds like. That's why I brought that up.
Well, so I did some research on like 10 of these doctors. You know, I got through 10 of them.
Did they get their degree online?
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Sorry, go ahead.
But what I did find was that I think 8 out of 10 of them were animal rights activists.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well then, what do you think they're going to be? I mean, come on.
Right. Well, you know, honestly, Matt, I am for animal rights in that there's no place in this world to keep chickens, pigs, cows in the dark in a warehouse.
Agreed.
To grow and to be just stuck in a little area until they're meant to go slaughter. They need to let them have. I think honestly, I think the more you were to let the animals be out, like free range on the chickens, or let the cows be out in the pasture, pigs too, I think that it just lends to them being more in their natural habitat. They're happier. I think there's going to be less negative hormones.
It's better. Better meat.
It's better meat because it's less. It's negative. I mean, because they're just going to be depressed all the time.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, animals do have. They have feelings too, maybe not quite as evolved as humans do, but they, I mean, it's been shown animals do. Now, that being said, we still have, I mean, they've been put on this earth for us to slaughter and have as food. So, to me, but yes, I whenever there is an animal rights person, I think that they do have they need to have the right to being able to be out somewhere to, give them a good life while they're around.
Well, I when I say animal rights, they're not really, to be honest with you,
they're talking about not killing. They don't want them dead. Right. They don't want them dead.
And they view animals on the same level as humans.
Right.
And that's where,
unfortunately, they're not.
Yeah.
They're not.
100%. So, anyway, I digress going down that rabbit hole. But okay, so secondly,
you said the 8 of the 10, so they were animal rights. So right, so that's why they would sign on to his.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Cancer mortality reduction. So a modest but statistical significant reduction in cancer-related mortality was observed among those with higher animal protein intake. Notice it says higher animal protein intake.
Right.
Specifically, the study found that each gram of animal protein consumed was associated with a 5% lower risk of cancer death.
Huh. With each gram.
With each gram.
Of protein, animal protein.
Yeah.
Well, I'd be okay, so if that's animal protein, did it say specifically anything about the plant protein?
Well, it goes on to say plant protein intake showed no clear survival benefit or harm in this data set, contrasting with some earlier studies suggesting advantages of plant-based diets.
See, now, I've always never thought that plant-based proteins are far and above better than animal protein.
No, they're not even
to
close.
To me, it's a superior. It's an inferior protein. Now, could there be some benefits? Sure. But to me, I always think of plant-based proteins as just another agenda to keep us from having animals
100%.
As food.
Yeah, 100%.
Now, I think it's obviously because, you know, vegetarians want the plant-based protein so they can still consume their protein and help their bodies. But I've also heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you've not heard this or if you have heard differently, that I thought that vegan diets were really not the best for you.
No, they're terrible for
right,
you.
Right, right. Yeah. And it's just like being on a keto diet for an extended amount of time. The longer you go with this, it's just robbing your body of much needed nutrients that you can't get from other than animals.
Well, I mean, you put me in a room with someone that's, let's say you got 5 individuals in a room and one of them is vegan and they don't tell me they're vegan. Usually if they've been on a vegan diet for at least a year or more, I can tell they're vegan just by looking at them. I've been around vegans, and a lot of times they're very gaunt. You know, they got...
You speak of them almost like they're aliens. Well, I've been around vegans. I mean, I can't even believe they're on this planet.
Hey, they're humans. I still love them as humans.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, I get it.
But the point is like...
They have a different mentality.
Well, and they just don't look healthy.
Yeah.
Right?
No,
they don't look healthy.
You can tell by the color of their skin, I'm sure, right?
Yes. Their skin and how sunken in their facial features are.
They're deprived of some very key nutrients.
Yeah,
and you can't get that by taking supplements to try to, you know, cover that. You can't do that.
You know, I didn't bring this study, but it was one I considered, so I don't have it in front of me. But there is a study on beans, refried beans, you know, lima beans. I mean, it doesn't matter. Any
pinto
any
beans, all
pinto
the black beans.
All of them. Yeah. Yeah.
Green beans.
And they found out they're actually not healthy for you. Mm-hmm. They call them a protein.
Correct.
But they're
legumes are not.
Yeah. And but they're not. And they're actually with the oxalates in them. They're mm-hmm. actually really bad for you. Mm-hmm. And
the more on oxalates, the more you eat those, the more they bloat and can harm some people because of those, the yeah, oxalates, right. Yeah.
Okay, so let's go on here to the contrasting evidence.
Yeah, and I can't, I forgot where I was at here. I'll look for that. Yeah. Right. Okay, go ahead. What's
so
that say?
A separate systematic review published in the Current Nutritional Report.
Oh, just August 8th.
Yeah,
August less than 8th, a month ago.
Found that substituting animal foods or protein with plant-based alternatives was associated with a lower cancer mortality in 3 studies and lower total mortality in 5 studies. Mm. However, due to the high heterogeneity, is that how you say that word?
I'm looking, where is, I'm not seeing that
due
part
to the higher heterogeneity.
I'm not seeing it on my part. Anyway, so, all right, anyway.
A meta-analysis was not conducted, and the findings were less conclusive. So, combative studies out there.
Yeah, well, it says right here, it says it contrasts this study's findings based on that you said, and this discrepancy suggests the need for cautious interpretation as the broader literature is mixed.
Yeah, yeah.
I find that very hard to believe that the plant, I mean, substituting the plant for the animal gave it a lower cancer. It was 5% less for the cancer mortality risk per gram of animal protein. But really, 5% is nothing. I mean, it's very low.
Mm-hmm.
But that's per gram.
Right, it's per gram.
Right, per gram. So that could add up depending on how much, I guess, depending on...
Well, I mean, now there's been, when we've talked about this, is that there's a lot of studies out there that associate the more muscle you have, the longer you live, the better you fight disease.
Grip strength.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just...
On and on.
You know, there was another one I came across a few weeks ago that I just now remembered as we were talking, where they looked at people that were smokers, mm-hmm. overweight, mm-hmm. and working out weekly, hmm. versus someone that is not a smoker, not overweight, but doesn't work out. So you would assume the person that doesn't smoke or is overweight is going to live longer. No.
I know, but that cracks me up that there are people that smoke regularly, overweight, and they work. That, to me, that just is a very small, minute percentage.
It's very small because you're not going to see. That's very few people. Now, I will say this. There are some people here that do that. Walking in the door today, I wanted to talk to this kid. Walking in the door today, I ran into someone who comes to this gym every day. And he said, "Do you want to smoke?" I'm like, "No." And I could already tell that he had a vape, which is worse than smoking.
Right.
Worse than smoking. And next, I see him all the time. I'm going to talk to him. What's that?
Young adult.
Yeah, young adult. He's actually in high school.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And he works over here at the nail salon as their receptionist. And I was just like, I wanted to pull him aside, dude, you got to stop that. I mean, the vaping is so bad for you.
Is he overweight?
No, he's a young, skinny kid. But I've known him, and I've given him lots of advice here. Good kid. I mean, just...
Well, if he's going to take it, if he's going to honestly accept that knowledge and soak it in, then I think you should. Because you're only going to do him a benefit rather than...
Yeah, and I would have pulled him aside. I had a training session I was walking into, so I couldn't do it. But, you know, but it... And I know other people that have come here that smoke. Yeah. So it's not, it is rare,
yeah,
but it's not unheard of.
Right.
So.
Okay.
All right. So I think we've hammered that. Let's move on to our next study.
Okay.
So
we're going to say that the study, the findings basically of the study that you just read,
mm-hmm.
In conclusion, basically state what we both feel and think anyway, is that there's really no big, huge correlation between animal protein and cancer, and I guess
mortality,
for this
mortality,
and for this the study, plant based as well. Protein in general is not going to be bad for you. Now, if taken in excess, just like anything, yes, if you're going to consume way too much, then there could be a possibility, because all it's going to do is just sit in you and rot and not get processed, and then you might have some issues.
But I mean, maybe.
But yeah, if it's all taken in moderation, like it should, with the guidelines put forth by the guy over there that writes your meal plan, or another nutritionalist, then you should be okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know what would be too much protein.
Right.
It'd be hard to know.
So that was a good study.
It was a good study.
And the cow guys, you know, the Beef Association, or whichever association that was the Beef Association. They
Cattlemen's
should be,
Association.
Yeah, the Cattlemen's Association. Yeah. They should be pleased with
yeah.
that.
Yeah. All right. Well, this one, okay, so this one, it really hit home for me, and it's very pertinent to today.
Okay.
So what do you think has happened to, and let's not talking about the actual subject, we're just kind of lead up to this, okay?
All right.
With the advent of the smartphone, right, what do you think has happened to our society?
Oh, it's made us lazier. It's made us more reliant. It's made us and more dependent, and less free thinking, and less, well, not less, but I guess just more complacent. So it's made us lazier,
mm-hmm.
more dependent, and less free thinking.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with all that. I'd almost go as far as I think it's made us dumber.
Well, by default, yeah, because you're reliant on it giving you the answer to something rather than you trying to figure it out yourself.
Right.
And it's made us very impatient, because with the smartphone, you have everything right here at what you need at the tip of your fingers here. So rather than waiting, you can get it instantly. So it's instant gratification. So your patience, people don't have patience anymore. So it's made them impatient as well.
So
it screwed everything up.
Well, okay.
In a lot of ways.
I want to say this, that it gives you tools that are necessary for survival today. Okay. And what I mean by that, if I'm not moving as quickly as everyone else is moving right now, then I'm not going to be able to keep up. Right.
Yeah. I agree to an extent, but then I disagree.
Well, let's think about it like this. If I didn't have my, if someone's asking me for information, are they assuming that I'm going to spend a week ago study it? Or I need to leave my office and go find it? No. They're going to be...
Back in the day it was. I mean, it's just like taking these now. You can put in an address. If you don't know where you're going, you can put in an address, and it'll spit out a map for you on how to get there. Whereas whenever I'm sure with you, because you've only been driving just a couple more years than I have, that if we had to find something, we had to go get a map out and look at it and go,
remember.
Okay, well, I'm going to go. And then we had to go spend an hour getting lost trying to figure our way out of where in the heck we were going.
Right.
But it trained our brain to go, we're not going that way again.
Yeah.
We now know where to go, whereas this just makes you turn left here.
Right.
Take a right, after, you know, whatever.
Right.
We now just listen. We don't pay attention. We're not aware unless we've been over there somewhere before.
We're not using our reasoning skills.
And our brain to figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not.
And that's what kind of what I'm talking about, like, is that a lot of things, if I ask somebody something, I already assume that on a subconscious basis that they will be using smartphone or they're using the information high-speed highway, we'll call it, that they'll access that information like that. Right.
Again, instant gratification. You don't have to wait for it.
Right. I mean, and I'm not talking for them to be gratified. I'm just saying that in our workday environments, not necessarily for gratification.
Well, but it's subconsciously too. You're getting gratified because you don't have to wait, and you're like, oh, Now I can get that immediately. I can move on to something else in my workplace, you know, to do.
True.
So you're getting gratified.
True.
Whether
but
you
there's
think it
a,
or not.
There's a practical end to it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have to have the information
Correct.
To move forward. Okay. It used to be use reasoning skills. You'd go to the library, research it, mm-hmm. figure it all out. And now it's
And I'll get back to you in about 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You know, and now it's, you know, we're doing seconds.
Right.
And so, yeah, and so that's kind of what I'm talking about is that, you know, if someone asked me a question in the gym about some type of supplement, I
right.
said, well, I'll get back to you in a couple of days and go research that and get back to you.
Right.
And it doesn't work anymore. So there's...
Well, but you still can, and you can do more in-depth research, even if it comes up on your phone quickly. You can still do that by quickly accessing multiple sources for the information that you're
right,
looking for.
Right, but you're not going to go to the library to do that.
Correct.
Usually.
No, you can,
all books are
it all,
on.
It's all
yeah,
right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm talking about is even if I'm doing in-depth research, now I can just sit at my desk and do it.
Right.
Right.
Correct.
Versus me traveling somewhere mm-hmm. and paying for gas and sitting in a library and
right.
checking books out. And,
right. Right.
And that type of thing. Xeroxing the pages so
right.
I can turn the books. You know, it's, the whole process has been
he said
Xeroxing. No one knows
pages.
What that means, right?
That means copying the pages for those of you following at home who are
That's
young
right.
enough to not know that.
So, again, anyway, so the point is yeah. So the negative to that is that now we're not pushed to use our
cognitive skills.
Cognitive skills,
yeah.
right? And so there's issues with that.
Right.
On another standpoint, it's people say think they're more connected because they're communicating with social media, but in some ways they're less connected.
Right.
Emotionally.
Right.
Now, I will say from being a personal trainer, I'm so glad I'm a trainer because I get to that personal connection all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is where I'm kind of going with
Leading,
this whole
right.
is that, okay, so what is the obvious conclusion of what's going to happen? They're going to create AI personal trainers or health coaches.
They're going to try.
Right. Okay. Well, there's, I think Google, I was saying, where was that? Google is launching, see if I can find when they're launching this.
Oh, but of course, if Google does it, then it's going to have to be true, Matt. It's going to have to be wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. AI-powered health coaches. Google is rolling out in the Fitbit app in October of this year a leap forward. And accessibility and personalization. These
Ooh.
Systems use data from wearables, user inputs, and algorithms to deliver tailored advice on fitness, sleep, nutrition, and wellness 24/7.
Oh.
Okay.
I don't know how I'm going to live without that, Matt.
So I don't need that personal touch anymore, right?
Right.
Okay. We're going to talk about why that doesn't work.
Matt, right. I'm sorry, but I am going to have to cancel my... my subscription. I just gave me all the tools I needed from Google.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I went and did some research and I said, I want to compare AI powered wearables and coaching devices to the one-on-one human touch, the one-on-one coaches, the personal touch, right?
And when you did that, you've come up with, there's four different studies.
Four
different. So pay attention as he goes through this because they're all very, very, very similar but different.
Okay, so the first three are interesting. I think the fourth is fascinating.
Okay. All right.
So the first one is from the Frontiers in Digital Health. They analyzed 35 random controlled trials and comparing AI-based fitness coaching, which is using apps and wearables, to human-led interventions. AI coaches increase the user engagement, example, 30% more daily steps, and were effective for routine tracking. However, human coaches achieved a 52% greater reduction in stress levels compared to AI's 28%. Okay, let me repeat that again. Human coaches achieved a 52% reduction in stress levels. Why do you think that is?
Because it's a human interaction. I think as we go through these studies, we're going to find a very common theme and a common thread.
Yeah.
It's humans, for as good as AI wants to be or can be, it's only going to be as good as we make it because
yeah.
it's created by humans.
Well, it's also,
and it's,
I wanted to say also AI is also conditioned by the creators.
Correct. It's only as good as it's going to be limited by how the algorithms are set up by the creators and what content is put in it. But it doesn't have the human interface or the human interaction that you get face to face with your client.
Yeah.
AI is only data driven. It has no emotional anything.
Right.
So, and it has no compassion. It does not know it's your client. I mean, if I was your client, you would know me. You know me anyway. Mm-hmm. But you would know me enough to figure out what's going on with me in any certain day. The AI generated is only going to know the numbers part of the story. It's not going to know the emotional or the anything else that is going to be found through human interaction. It's just not going to know that.
Right. And I think that there's a component here that AI creators will tell you, oh, yeah. If you listen to them talk, they believe they can create
the next human.
The next human, 100%, mm-hmm. right? That can have emotions, feeling. Mm-hmm. And, okay. So that flies. I mean, the reason we know, no matter what they create, no matter how good it is, it will never match the human.
Correct.
Ever.
Because it was not. That's not a God created.
100%. 100%. Okay, but because of their own arrogance, they feel like they can, right? And so then we have the challenge, and the challenge is what kind of world are we going to end up creating? Mm-hmm. And basically, to a certain extent, you're creating our own demise.
Okay. Correct. To a degree.
And, you know, granted, there's always going to be powers that want to. Is AI a good tool?
It
can be. 100%.
But that's right. There's also a lot of ways that AI can be very bad and can still spit out, believe it or not, although it's computer driven the memories are all based on, you know, pulling of multiple databases that AI can be wrong or incorrect as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, it's still going to, depending on the biases of the creator, it's going to respond to things in the way the creator thinks it should respond.
Right.
Yes, AI learns, but it's going to learn from the standpoint of bias versus, you know, changing, like, if you create a bias in an AI program, for it to switch its bias into another opinion, I'm not sure if that can be done.
In order to make AI the best it can be and the most open and unbiased is to not make it biased. It's to create a program as unbiased as can be and very just the truthful. Put as much truth in it as you can and let's see how smart this computer can be to make its own biases, I guess, quote unquote, if it could even, you know, create a bias.
Well, I'll give you an example. I can't remember what the exact, I was asking an AI program a few months ago about nutritional health ideas, something along the benefits of best approaches.
And it probably spit out about 50 articles?
Well, no, it was giving me its opinion. Oh. I asked for its opinion.
Okay.
And it was wrong. It was dead wrong. And I thought, I said, well, aren't there opposed? And I challenged it and asked for opposing
views
or I gave it my opinion. He says, well, there's been some studies on this, but they were inconclusive. And I'm like, no, that's not accurate.
That must have that AI bot or program must have been written by a vegan.
I can't remember again. I don't remember what the
vegans.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you have an agenda like that, you're going to write that program to spit out that in that way.
All right. So what's the
second study?
No. So the first study then. So did we conclude? So
yeah, I would say. I mean, the relevance. You know, AI shows that AI is strengthened in data-driven tasks, but human coaches edge in stress reduction and motivation through empathy.
And that's pretty easy to to discern and to come up with.
Of course, they're going to say they can AIs can learn empathy.
So. Right. Yeah, I would like to see that. All right. So what's study number two?
All right.
Remember, again, these are all very, very, very similar in scope and just in general. There's just little nuances that are different. So this is study number two.
Okay. Published in the Journal of Medical. This is in a Stanford study in 2024.
Another recent one.
Mm-hmm. These are all recent,
right.
I think. Yeah.
Good.
Published in the Journal of Medical Internet Research. This study tracked 65,000 users.
That's
that's
chunk.
A good size.
That's a good size study.
Of weight loss app over 12 months. It compared AI only and human only and hybrid AI plus human coaching. Hybrid plans led to 74% greater weight loss than AI alone. That's pretty impressive.
It is.
With human-only coaching slightly outperforming AI and sustaining food, logging, and motivation. Human coaches excelled in fostering accountability through personalized feedback through AI was better for consistent data tracking. So here we have the marriage of AI and human, and it performed well.
Correct. Which, to me, I think it should, because here's... Okay, my take on it is, and the reason why the hybrids were so much better, is AI is perfect for being able to maintain and log your numbers daily, because it's a huge database that has such a large memory bank that it's gonna it's a lot quicker. You could probably, depending on the program, speak it into the phone and it'll write it down for you or log it.
Right.
And if not, it's very easy to just type it into your phone and hit save. You don't have to keep a piece of paper. You don't have to bring that with you and worry about logging it later.
Right.
So the logging aspect or the data aspect of it is a breeze in AI. So to me, that tells me that's a great marriage for you go out and you do, based on your human coach, what your human coach is telling you, you go out and you perform that. And then you log it into here, easy peasy. That's, to me, I think that's the general gist of a lot of that.
That's the easiest. And it's the right relationship.
Marriage,
right. Because then you're using the AI as a tool, not
but
the leader.
You're correct. You're using it at actually what it should be used for.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
So
anything else on that one?
Well, but so it said, it did say...
Says human coaches enhance outcomes and weight loss.
Right. So 65,000 users, and what was it again? It was looking for the combo. 74% greater weight loss in the combo.
Yeah. So it was 70. Basically, 74 greater weight loss in the combo. More than AI in human. Human only slightly performing the AI.
That should tell you right there that's how it should be. It, it should correlate, and that relationship should be that way.
Yeah,
That's a big difference. 74%.
Well, and it says in its conclusion, you know, this demonstrates that human coaching enhances outcomes in weight loss, particularly for motivation. But hybrid models may combine the best of both.
I would have to absolutely agree with that.
Okay.
You?
Yep.
Yep. All right. Study three.
All right, so the PLOS study, and I'm not sure I didn't get a chance to look up what this PLOS means.
And I don't either.
But the PLOS 1 study conducted a 10-month trial with 200 participants.
So not quite as big, but still 200 is 200.
Yeah. Pursuing fitness goals, comparing an AI chatbot with coach to a human coaches. Both groups achieved similar goal completion rates.
Wait a minute. That's a completion goal rate, or a goal completion rate.
That's right.
Of around 85%.
Mm-hmm. But qualitatively, feedback showed participants rated humans' sessions as warmer and more authentic.
Well, why do you think that is, Matt?
Imagine that. Humans were more or better at adapting to emotional setbacks with AI provided consistent reminders.
Again. The AI is doing what it does best, and it's very easy to give you a reminder because it doesn't have the human element. It could set it in its own self to go ahead and remind you at a certain time for things that you need to get done.
I want to get to this next study, but let's the conclusion here highlights human coaches' advantage to emotional connection. Okay, well, This is what I'm talking about. Yeah. When we lose the we talked about this at the beginning of this subject, is that when we lose the emotional connection, this is going to be the common thread, right? And this is the fear that, you know, AI created, AI creators believe they can create that human connection. And but to what? And then you start getting the whole idea of, like, me and you, God knows we're sitting here together. We're two souls sitting here, right?
But you can read my body language and I can read yours.
Right.
AI can't do that.
Well.
Right. Oh, you hear that too?
Yeah. I was like, was
that like the pot's boiling. Someone who's making tea.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So the point is that if I'm having an emotional connection with an AI generated robot or something online, and I'm starting to get connected to that, what are the implications? I'm not communicating with a soul. I'm not even communicating with an animal that I can, like, you know. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's one, without the gut test, is like, this is wrong.
Well, yeah, because I could, if you were an AI and I looked at you and I said, I love you, man, you're going to say, I love you too. And it's going to come back. And I mean, it's not going to tell you. Well, it could, but you're not going to believe it because it doesn't have any emotion behind it.
But what happens when you do believe it? Then, now you're getting into psychosis.
Then you're off kilter a little bit. You need to get recalibrated because that's you. It, but what was that movie 10, 15 years ago that had, I think it was Joaquin Phoenix or...
fell in love with his phone.
Fell in love with a... It was called Her.
Yeah.
Was that his phone?
I think I didn't see it, but I heard about
that,
it.
That is what this reminds me about. And I never watched it either, but that I remember seeing the previews for that. And the sad thing is, Matt, people are out there that actually believe what you and I are talking about, that you can establish a relationship with an AI being, because they can now make them look so real. Have you not seen that they have put together pictures or they have done an AI to where this woman looks real and she's beautiful?
Yeah.
But she's AI.
She's AI.
And yeah. People, you can get tricked. You can get tricked.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But people like that are, they just, I don't know that they have
here's the thing. Let's say you know it's AI, okay? And I've seen apps come up that are, you know, design that you're a beautiful person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she'll communicate or he'll communicate with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's say you're getting sucked in by this and you are now putting this artificial person above other things that are important in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you die and you go to heaven, God's going to be like, oh, man, I'm sure glad you fell in love with that AI bot.
That person's going to make it to heaven.
I mean, well, I mean, a judgment. Let's put it that way.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of, so then you're getting, that's when things are skewed and this thing invites that mentality, right? There's a bunch of apps that are doing this. Obviously they're getting traction.
There's going to be a percentage of people that are going to fall for that.
That's mm-hmm. right.
And unfortunately,
because they wouldn't make them otherwise.
Well, and I think those people that fall for that, they want the promise of being able to interact with somebody without having to interact with somebody.
Yeah.
How stupid is that? I mean, they want to act and think that they're interacting with somebody.
There's no accountability.
Right.
Right. If I'm communicating with someone and I have to be respectful about boundaries and treat them as God's child, right? If I'm communicating with a bot,
are no boundaries.
There are no boundaries.
Because they're gonna tell you what you want to hear and not what you don't
want to
hear.
And you can say whatever you want to say, and it's going to respond in the way keeps
correct.
Going down that perversion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. So last study. And this one I found was the very interesting. This was in Columbia Mixed Methods Experiment, published in the Nature Digital Medicine. The study involved 150 participants.
Again, another small one.
Uh-huh, who believed they were interacting with an AI coach. But some sessions were led by human coaches disguised as chatbots. Human-led sessions, even as bots, were rated higher for empathy and trust, leading to better adherence to fitness plans, 68% versus 55% for true AI. The experiment showed humans could adapt dynamically to user cues in ways AI couldn't, emphasizing the irreplaceable human touch in coaching.
Well, okay. The thing that surprises me about that, because you as a, if you are, and this is an assumption, so if you are a human acting as an AI bot coach, you're speaking in or typing, right? Either mm-hmm. one or the other. So you still have the human element, no matter if you're trying to, if they've coached you, meaning maybe the programmers coached you to just be very generic like a computer would be, to where you're not having any human element in it. I don't know. Or maybe they did want you just to type it in and still think like you normally think.
Right.
What surprises me about that is that there was only a 13% difference, 68 versus 55.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, I agree.
You still have the human touch of being able to put that information in. So because you're a chatbot, you're being a chatbot. So you either have to speak into it and you're giving it some emotion, or you're typing it and you still type with emotion, right?
Mm-hmm.
People don't always read into it as emotion, but you're putting that human element in because you are the one putting it in.
Well, so here's the other thing to consider.
I'm surprised about the 13%.
Yeah, I am too. But here's the other thing to consider that this study doesn't mention. Maybe it was considered. Take individuals from today. And wouldn't it be cool? I mean, in a perfect world, that's not actually a perfect world. That would actually be a perversion of the world. But what I'm trying to say is,
tell me what you really think, man.
I'm trying to say this in a way that that makes sense, but doesn't. Okay, let's take people from 1950.
Okay,
they have no experience with phones, computers. Well, actually, let's take people from 1980. Let's take that. Okay. People from 1980, computer just came out.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And
cell phones did too in some areas.
Yeah. So there was some chat ability uh-huh. at that time. So
only for the very, very high end person.
Yeah. But let's say we still had kind of the old school ways, and we weren't as numb to. I mean, you notice today we're numb to other people.
Yes,
we are. I've seen videos where people have been shot or run over, and people just walk by like it's nothing, right? They don't even look at them. Oh, he got hit by a car. Just keep walking. I mean, me and you wouldn't do that.
That's horrible.
Yeah, but the lack of empathy or care for the human condition, we've had, you know, 50 some years of lack of caring for life.
Mm-hmm.
For the human condition.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the 80s, we still had some of that, I would say, because that's kind of about when the computers were coming out, 85, 86. And then you had, and we still had some of the 1950-ish mentality, even though it got through the 60s. There was still some of it there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where we were starting to fade out of, you know, tradition. And computers were starting,
uh-huh.
okay? And then you think about people today,
uh-huh.
okay? And then, so take that test market group of 150 people versus that test market for 150 people, and how would they differ? The actual respondent would probably vary than the respondent of today. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, the respondent from 1950 or 70 or whatever that you want to use, because it'd
right.
be very similar. First of all, they'd be like, holy crap, this is the future? What is this?
Yeah,
they would
yeah.
freak out. But if they had to, if they could get past that and just had to respond, I think that 13% would be extremely bigger difference. It would be a bigger gap because the people then still had, like you said, the empathy, but they also still, one, it's a new thing, and they probably wouldn't know what to trust versus, I mean, they would know to trust the human emotion because it was still very much relevant and in play.
Right.
So it wasn't, they weren't as numb, like you said, as they are today. So they would, they were more used to the human interaction. And the computer would just be a new thing for them. So,
well, let's say that's why I chose the 80s, because that would be the advent of some type of communication.
Right.
You chose the people from the 50s and 70s. They'd be like, couldn't get past the fact that we're communicating over a device.
Well, right? And even in the 80s, I mean, you know, you had the movies Back to the Future that they were trying to start pushing on to make sure that you, you know, could do something with computers. But even in the 80s, I think still there was an extension of the 50s, 60s, and 70s in that group still.
So
it was still very much removed because cell phones really didn't start getting to be more commonplace until the early mid-90s. You know, they had the bag phones.
Right, right.
So in the 80s, you still had, you still, the computer stuff was still a real new thing.
Right,
you know,
right.
The World Wide Web, what's that? You mean we're going to web?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So,
now, it would still have a novelty effect for sure. I mean,
but the human element would be so much more involved.
Yeah.
And believable.
And I think those, I guess what I'm trying to say is I think the people from the 1980s and the mentality, if you could, you know, get past the novelty of it, they would see a greater dichotomy between the human chatbot or the human bot, or I guess that's not a bot, but the human.
Well, no, it was a chatbot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was actually a human.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Right.
So, and then the actual chatbot.
Right.
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 And I think they would be more sensitive to it.
Right.
And that's my opinion. We have no way of doing that because I mean, it's kind of like when people are trying to get 12 jurors for a court. You know, and if they sometimes they depending on where they get that jury is very and the people they bring in. Uh-huh. If you're in an area where the crime or the case was very televised, then it's hard to find a fair jury, right?
Uh-huh.
So that's where you can. We can't really find people that are not influenced by our technology.
Right,
it's impossible.
Right,
so. So
well,
I think,
unless you want to go to one of the Amish places.
True. Now that's not a bad. That's a good idea. That is a great idea. You have 150 Amish take this test, and you have 150 people that are everyday people that work in our culture, and you compare that. I think that would be a phenomenal test to do.
Yeah, because Mennonites do use some of the technologies of today.
Yes, they
so
do.
So you can't necessarily use Mennonites, although you could, but I think if you wanted that true test, it would be the Amish.
Yeah. No, that's a great, that's good. We okay. figured it out.
There we go.
We figured it out. So anyway, in conclusion, it goes on to say the experiment showed humans could adapt dynamically. Okay, I read that. And then proves human coaches maintain an edge in empathy and adaptability, which is a common term here. Even mimicking AI interfaces, underscoring the limits of AI's emotional intelligence. Now, all these things where it's saying AI's limited emotional intelligence, the limited trust factor, limited empathy, is any AI creator is going to say, just give me time and I'll program it in. Any of them. I've listened to them. Any of them will say that.
Well, they'll say that, but here, let me read this that you had in the study, and this is what will tell you why the human interaction is always going to be there, and it's going to be superior. It says right here, it says, these studies collectively affirm that while AI health coaches excel in accessibility, consistency, and data analysis, human coaches remain superior in providing emotional support, nuanced adaptability, and genuine connection, which are critical for long-term success in fitness and wellness. That is the best way of summing these four studies up. And just that one little sentence. You can be as arrogant and as smart as you want and be as the best program in the world, but no one's playing God except God.
No.
And you cannot put human emotion into a bot. You just can't.
You can't.
You just can't.
No. And if you do get attracted to the bot or in any way, if you're like emotionally connecting with the bot, then your priorities are flipped.
Yes.
Because now you're giving value to something that doesn't have value.
You've lost your sense of reality.
Right. Because it doesn't have a soul. You know, our goal is to save souls, and when you're emotionally connected to an AI program, then you're losing the one, your mission, and two, you're wasting your efforts, and you're deceiving yourself.
Well, and if you and Parker wanted to be training bots, you'd be training bots. But you're not training bots. You guys want to train. You want to train humans. I mean,
can you imagine? Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. That's hilarious. But anyway,
I'm just saying. You know, you're not training bots. You're training individuals, and they're human individuals.
Yeah.
So.
But you know, I will say this. I mean, I just. I've been starting to video my interaction with my clients.
Oh, good.
And more from like to help with the gym, to get, you know, to help get more clients.
Sure.
That type of thing. Our goal is to grow the gym. But I was watching, I was reviewing footage last night, right? And my wife was watching it with me, and I was reviewing the footage of me and my clients, and you know, and we have a great time, mm-hmm. you know, and I've trained you and we always have a great time. Mm-hmm. And my wife goes, man, you remain social the whole hour. She says, I don't know if I could do that. I didn't really think about it. I was like, I enjoy what I do, you know?
Well,
like,
not only that, but you're trained to do that because you do love what you do, but you're a coach.
Yeah.
You have to coach up constantly. You can't take any time off.
Right.
You have to be on your game to coach that person up because they're relying on you to give them that boost that they're not going to get on their own.
Right.
So you are there to constantly coach them up and to make sure that they excel, because not only do they excel, you excel, and it brings in more client base for you, and it helps them get to where they want to be, and you're pushing them to do so.
Right. 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
All right, guys. That was a good show.
This wraps up episode 61 already,
61.
Matt.
61.
Crazy.
61. I'm trying to think. So we'll hit 100 next year. Yeah. We're not going to get it in this year, for sure.
Well, and as always, you know, appreciate the fill-in. Parker, for those wanting to see Parker again at some point, you will very soon, I'm sure. He's just... a very busy young man with a new family, and he has a lot of irons in the fire right now, doing a lot of different things. And you know, while the weather's good, it's he's being called to do other things. So as you can see, us two losers over here, we're not being called to do much. So we had time to sit down and have a podcast today.
All right, guys, you guys have a good one, and we will see you next week.
Go Chiefs!
Hey, look at you. You've completed another milestone by finishing this episode of Loading the Bar. Your future self thanks you profusely. Loading the Bar is podcasted from Lee Summit, Missouri. Email us at cpt.kansascity@gmail.com. Forge ahead and share your progress. And we'll see you back here for another episode of Loading the Bar.